Part A.
Today we're going to look at suffering not just on a national scale or national or natural like we did last week, because we all have that. If a hurricane hits or whatever, there's always part of the national, there's always kind of war. There are things that affect us all collectively. But undeserved suffering is for the church. It's only for believers. And it's only for those believers that have a sense of godliness about them. If you have a desire to live a godly life, you will suffer in this world. You will do it to glorify God, as Al said. You will do it to develop your maturity. It accelerates growth. You will do it because it's a great witness to other people about suffering. You will do it because it will bring a witness of Christ. There is a whole lot of reasons why people suffer in the church. But it's always for this, for the cause of Christ. It has nothing to do with you. Even though the suffering may be very personal. When you look at the life of Job, he suffered for Christ. It's called undeserved suffering. And his life, suffering, got very personal. Lost his children, lost his wealth, lost his status, lost his influence in the community. You know, it's interesting. The Bible says that Job was the greatest man of influence among the people of the East. I'm telling you, that's quite a status. And he lost it, lost his health. He lost his hope. Many times in the middle of the book, it says he despised his life. He loathed that he had been permitted to live beyond birth. And the whole book is about him coming to grips with that. And we're better off, Job, having gone through it, because we now learn a lot about undeserved suffering. That's true in your life when you go through it. There is a council of witnesses. There are a council of people. There is a circle of influence to your suffering. And they will be benefited from it just as we're benefited from Job's. The learning process that we have will benefit them. Open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians, the first chapter. Last week we looked at Philippians 1:29 in preparation for today's study. And he made an interesting statement, Paul did. He said, "For to you, the church, it has been granted for Christ's sake." For you not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. The word granted comes from the word grace. It is the verbal form of charis. It is the verbal form of grace. It is the action of grace. This word granted, it means privileged by grace. You've been privileged by grace. Not only to believe in him, not only is grace salvation a big doctrinal issue in the church, listen to me now, but equal to it, in the principle of privilege of grace, is suffering. Let me say it again. For to you, it has been granted, it has become a graced privilege. Not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. In other words, he balances these two enormous things. One is to believe For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourself, it is a gift of God. And likewise to suffer for his name's sake. He suffered for yours, you suffer for his. He suffered for you, you suffer for him. Now, it's not, and listen, this lesson is not going to be any more complicated than that. It's just going to be a whole lot more information. The Bible is going to say that he set the example. He set the pattern, and we're to walk accordingly. We're to walk in his steps in regard to suffering. It is, the primary is the gospel. Now, in 2 Corinthians 1, as I often do in my personal studies, I have outlined it for my benefit. Looking at the subject matter of undeserved suffering, I went in and I took a look at this major passage on suffering, and I broke it down into 5 homiletical points on suffering. And I'm looking at another aspect, not the suffering part, because that'll come no matter what. It is already on the road with your address and name. You got that? It has been granted to you not only to believe, but to suffer. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and you have a desire to grow spiritually, that truck called undeserved suffering is already on the way to your house. Because you've been privileged by grace. My passage that I chose talks about suffering from another view, rather from the outside of suffering coming to you like it did to Job. How we're going to handle it when it comes. Are you with me? But it's going to come. And you want to welcome it. It's going to come. And you're going to be better off for it. This is high privilege. I want you to focus on the word comfort. Job, when you read the book of Job as we have, what Job was looking for was comfort, and he kept looking in all the wrong places. His friends couldn't do it. They just come and added more pain to him. His family, his wife couldn't bring it because she didn't have capacity. And he looked to his wife and his wife couldn't. It took nearly the entire book. It takes all the way down to the end of the book before he began to understand where comfort comes from. It comes from God. Comes from God's program. Doesn't come from the world. There's no medicine that can do it. Their friends can't do it. Your family can't do it. They can assist you in it. Maybe they may assist you in a way that brings more pain, not less. Did for Job. He said, if this is the best of friends I've got, I'd be better off without any. They brought criticism. They wanted to help, but they didn't understand what they were talking about. So I picked a passage that talks about comfort. For I guarantee you, if there's one thing you're going to want to know about when suffering comes your way, and I don't care what category it comes to you, you're going to want to know how to be comforted. With a comfort that is true comfort for the soul and spirit and body. And so I picked a passage to talk about the comforting side. Watch it now. And I outlined it with the idea of comfort. Now watch it. Look at your paper. I'm going to read it to you. Look at your paper. verses 3 and 4. I'm in chapter 1 of 2 Corinthians. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2. Now verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy and the God of all comfort. I mean, if you learn nothing else today, you need to know that. Let me tell you, if you're looking for comfort under undeserved suffering in any other capacity other than what God Himself and what He provides by grace, is it a grace privilege? He's going to provide it to you by grace. You look to God, and out of God is going to come all kinds of grace because it's a privilege. Suffering, undeserved suffering, is a privilege. The word granted means that. And so, verse 4, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. There's one benefit in it. You have empathy. You have empathy, not sympathy. Verse 5 and 6. Christ. For just as the suffering of Christ are ours in abundance, you know, He suffers for us, we suffer for Him. So also our comfort is abundant through Christ. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. Or if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same suffering which we also suffer. It's suffering for the cause of Christ. It's not self-induced. It's not disciplined. It's undeserved. It is suffering in the way Christ suffered for you. In that way, listen to me, in that way you suffer for Him according to the will of God, according to the plan of God, according to the grace of God. In verse 7, it's Christians as it's stated in each one of them. For our hope for you is firmly grounded, knowing that you are sharers of our suffering, so also you are sharers of our comfort. Other Christians are able to comfort according to the divine plan. If you go in and you give them goofy information, like the friends of Job came in, but if you bring that comfort with that comfort that comes from God, a comfort that is identified in Jesus Christ, identified by the plan of God, then you can be a true comforter. In verses 8 and 9, for we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, unaware, that's a key word. We do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our afflictions which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. I mean, it can get pretty intense. Does that sound pretty intense to you? Sounds pretty intense to me. That sounds pretty intense. Burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves in order that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Listen, nothing's worse than you're going through that. And Job prayed for death. Got so bad. Listen, one thing that suffering will bring out is the faith cycle, where you got to believe, you got to hold firm, you've got to stand your ground, you've got to rest your faith that God will do what He's promised. Now I'm going to tell you the things that God's promised you today, but you're going to need that faith cycle. The things that you are hearing today and believing today is going to come to a place of application in your life where you're going to have to trust God that God will do what He's promised. Faith, the end of faith, is to come to a place in your soul where you see God do for you what He promised He would do before it began, so that you can close the chapter on that experience of faith. You can close the chapter on it. And when you do, you'll praise God, you'll glorify Him, and you'll move on to another experience that will be more intense, and you'll be prepared for it because you know the end from the beginning. How many people know the end from the beginning but Christians who have spiritual maturity in the Word of God? What a wonderful thing is go to a funeral and know the end. Knew the end. Listen, we knew the end when the person was going through suffering. We knew what the end was going to be. When the end came, all we could do is glorify God that He was merciful and that He was a God of comfort. Word of God is the most powerful thing in comforting. In verse 10. Who delivered us from such a great peril of death and will deliver us. He delivered us. He on whom we have set our hope, and He will deliver us. You also join in helping us. Watch this prayer. In helping us through your prayers. But thanks may be given by many persons on your behalf for the favor bestowed upon us through the prayers of many. It's the reason we have a prayer line. Let me tell you, you'd be smart to jump all over that prayer line. Let me tell you, if I had a problem, I'd be all over that prayer line. I've seen the power of that prayer line. And He tells you how important it is. The prayer of others bringing comfort to the people that are under it. The prayer of others for the comfort of those who are under it. That's the body of Christ caring for one another according to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verse 26. It is the way the church cares about one another.
This concludes part A. Please select part B to continue.